22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
The Huskies got a 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sasha just scores! Is he in? Put it in!
I am a Uper.
They'll flip it up to Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP.
Oh, what a play by Michigan Tech!
And my heart is here.
Save it for Misiak. Misiak, wraparound attempt. Right to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! Get them in!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
Thanks a lot, Josh. We appreciate it. And yes, the Joe Schott Hour, boy, we would be in a much better mood if the Huskies were able to pull off a win against a very good Clarkson team over the weekend. A tie on Friday night and a tough loss on Saturday night. But the Huskies ending the first half of the season with quite a run, only losing two in the last 10 games. But Coach Schott is ready to go to talk about this weekend, I know, and it still stings a little bit, doesn't it, Coach?
Yeah, I'm actually not ready to go to talk about it, but we're wrapping up the weekend. We're doing summaries and things and reviews and stuff this morning, and then we'll start digging in, put it behind us, and dig into the July and get ourselves ready to move ahead and continue to grow.
Do you get any anxiety about this time of year, Coach, with the guys? I know this question has come up the last couple of weeks, and I don't want to keep dwelling on it, but there is a lot of individual responsibility on the guys as far as making sure that they don't, you know, that they keep in as much game shape as possible, right, heading into the GLI.
Well, I think we have a mature group. I think our tradition has been that way. Tyler's done a good job. He's put together their workouts. We have workouts for them to do while they're gone to keep themselves ready. It's up to them individually to do that. We have a great group of young men that I'm sure will show up in Detroit ready to go and to make the best run possible, go, you know, through the GLI and carry that into Arizona State. So we still have four great opportunities ahead of us before we get back into conference play to position ourselves to the best in the best way possible. So I think our guys will do a good job. I think there's also a break gets needed. You push so hard. It may be a little longer than you'd like, but it's very hard for guys to get back to British Columbia and get to the places that they need to get to spend the holidays with their family without giving a little bit of time, because it turns into a 2-day travel and things like that. So they need to be refreshed. We all need to refresh a little bit and get ready to do the last push.
You were mentioning before we came on the air here that loss on Saturday for us, really big swing in the pairwise rankings, right?
Yeah, do we want to get right into that, or do we want to go through Friday night's game first?
All right, let's go through Friday night's game. The Huskies scored first both nights, including Friday night. Huskies will have to clear the zone and get it right across again. Bretzman stick lifted up, but Zareski will take it back to the point. Here's Ford with a shot. Hit his own player. Here's a shot. Hunting it. Here's a shot in front. Scott scores! Oh, that is the alternate captain, Alex Smith, able to bang it home, and the Huskies get a power play goal.
That was a lot of fun watching that power play all weekend, Coach, but that first one was really good.
Yeah, both nights we had we got it going pretty well on the power play. I thought our movement was good. Our opportunities were good. That was a good play. We found Zareski made a fantastic play on that, finding the back door. He's just been a great freshman for us, as so many of our freshmen have been. He made a great kind of no-look pass over. He kind of caught Smitty, I'm sure, out of the corner of his eye and gave it to him, and Smitty just had to get the puck, towards the net and get it into the net. So it was a great play, great to go up 1-0. Crowd was involved. Again, as always, our seventh man, our support is so incredible at the arena. We had a recruit in for Saturday night's game that absolutely loved the environment. It's just a great place to, even our sponsors, you hear the sponsors for this show beforehand. So everybody is so into it. I've been talking, I see people in church and they said, tough one got away. Our priest is on the way out. He said, sorry about that. I'm praying for you. Everybody is so into it.
That's great.
You can't ask for more than that. You don't want apathy. I'd rather the challenge of people people's expectations being good, of people being as let down as we are, you know, in failure, as people as being exuberant as we are in success. And that's what makes it such a special place.
Alex Smith gets the goal. Parker Suretsky, as you mentioned, the primary assist, and Alec Bretzman gets the other assist on that power play goal. And I, when we talked to Alex after that game, I asked him how much verbal communication was going on there, down there, letting Suretsky know that you, Alex, were on that back door. He goes, not a whole lot. He's just that good. He said Suretsky just is that good.
Yeah, he is. He's been a great freshman. He's double digits in points already his freshman year. He's on pace for over 20 points, which is a good freshman year, which puts him on pace for a 100-point career. So, he's a tremendous player. I'm glad he went. He played the next year, second year juniors. We're going to have him for a few more. Maybe he'll get a chance to sign early. I hope that he has a chance to play pro hockey. He's a tremendous player, tremendous young man. Exactly the type of player that we want here within our program.
Were you impressed with how good he was coming back after the upper body injury? I mean,
you know, Friday, in Friday's game, which we're talking about here, he was a little bit tired going in, you know, because when you're under concussion protocol, you can't do anything, you know, you can't do anything. You're, you know, when they tell you that we're going to test you, then they push you a little bit to see which symptoms creep up, but they're resting you, you know, they want everything to heal. So, it's not like you can keep your legs going and keep different things going. So he was a little tired. His good buddy, his teammate, Logan Ganey, was in the lineup Friday. So, you know, you kind of, in my mind, I'm like, he's coming off. He's saying, Coach, I'm tired. I got to, okay, Logan, go. Mm-hmm. You know, and so you're wondering how much he's looking after his buddy, because he's that type of kid. He cares about other people, as so many on our team do. So I'm kind of myself, okay, do we push him through this? But we'd get Logan out there, and Logan did a great job for us on Friday, too, as a lot of guys did. So, just a great kid. He's just like so many players on our team.
Alex Smith with that goal gave the Huskies a 1-0 lead. One of the thorns in the side of the Huskies all weekend long, Harold's Eagle, ties the game up in the first period.
He's got a guy going to the net. Suretsky looking for a rebound. Well played there by goaltender Murat to steer it aside. And back out to center ice now. Here comes Eagle. Eagle across the line. Quick shot, and he scores! Eagle with a nice wrist shot beat goaltender Jerusik. And the Golden Knights have tied it up, even strength, 1-1.
It just didn't look like there was a whole lot going on there, and all of a sudden it's in the back of our net.
Yeah, I was kind of, I think, you know, looking back, I watched the whole weekend again, over, you know, since the games have been played, scoring chances and things, and Matty fought the puck a little bit this weekend. You know, that goal I think he'd want to have back. You know, there were a couple on the first two on Saturday. I think he'd like to have back. We'd certainly like to have him back. I think he fought it a little bit. And part of it, I think, is he never got really maybe settled into either one of these games. We didn't give up much. Mm-hmm. We didn't give up much early. We didn't give up much late. We didn't give up a ton of high quality scoring chances. We gave up a few really good ones, where, you know, we had mistakes, you know, like in the one in the third period on Saturday where Leiper threw a D-to-D pass. They picked it off, which is very similar to Bretzman's goal on Saturday night. But some of the shots he got were really good shots, but I think he fought some of the ones that he would normally save.
So Harold's Eagle with that goal that ties it up 1-1 going into the second period. They score again on Grant Cooper's tally, and that made it 2-1 in favor of Clarkson. But early on in the third period, it was a great goal by Grayson Reitmeier.
Beckler's bringing it in, lays a hit on down there. The Huskies steal it away, though, and brought up by Grayson Reitmeier. Reitmeyer's got a lane now, bring it down the left wing. He might get a shot on. Reitmeier's in, a score!
Good for Grayson. He deserved to get a goal there. He's been working hard and playing really well, and his mask was dangling the whole time that he was trying to beat that guy, and he just brought it to the net and scored.
Yeah, and good for Botts. I think Botts might have been in on every goal we scored on the weekend. I don't know if he got an assist on the first one by Suretsky with Smitty, but he was certainly in.
He did.
He was certainly in on the last three, scoring both goals on Saturday night. So big weekend for him. You know, he pushes so hard, plays so hard, so it was good to see Grayson get that goal. Grayson also had a pretty good game on Saturday night as well. So needs to tighten up a little bit in D zone cover for sure. But still, he's another player that's in some ways playing out of position for us. Our depth at center isn't isn't strong, and he's filled in there and done just an excellent job for us. And that line on any given night is our best line. They have size, and when a lot of it is when Grayson's doing, when he's on, when he's playing on his toes and he's charging and he's strong on his stick, it benefits our game in a big way.
Coach, we were great on faceoffs on Friday night. I mean, Smitty was outstanding again. I mean, that probably led to a lot of our chances in that third period.
Yeah, we were good. 18 shots in the third period, yeah. Gave up two. We didn't give up much on Saturday either. We took it over on Saturday for the most part as well. But the team played very well. I was happy. You know, I'm not happy. You know, you come out of the game. We could have won Friday. Okay, we're growing. We're getting better. Fourth ranked team in the country. We took it to them in a lot of ways. We're growing. Could have got points. Saturday, now we'll talk about that. That one just got away from us, and it leaves you just with a hollow feeling. So all in all, though, we're continuing to get better. We're showing we can play with anybody. We still have to learn how to, you know, have to learn how to finish things off in a big way when the opportunities are there. And that's, you know, that's not unsimilar to the first year I was here with, again, I talk about with Tanner and those guys, that team never won, you know, met a big challenge on the year, you know, close on all of them, close to beating St. Cloud, outplayed them, should have won, close to winning the GLI, close to everything, you know what I mean, 2-goal lead in the third period against Mankato in the championship game for the playoff championship, and gave up the lead, close to St. Cloud, up by a goal, you know, in the last minute, and they pulled a goalie and scored and then beat us in overtime. Never got over the hump, never really learned how to win, and there is an art to that. There is a total dedication, total sacrifice that's needed for that. And then the next year, the first time we ever got over the hump was when we went to Phoenix, I believe it was Phoenix, and won that tournament right there, in a shootout, I believe over Yale or somebody. And that was the first time, okay, now we've won something. Expectation got higher. Then we win a league, regular season title. Then we win the next year playoff title. Then we win another playoff title. So there is a process that goes into it. You can't rush it. And we're still right now looking for that ability.
Our third periods, though, Coach, I mean, even though we didn't get anything in the third period on Saturday night, have been good. We're getting opportunities.
Oh, we had great chances on Saturday night. Parker snuck one between the goalie's legs that just dribbled by the post there, and Piedla went in for a breakaway. He got fed a nice pass, went for a breakaway. Paratino got in clean. We had several good looks. Svetskip with another one. He shot over the net on a great passed by Reitmeier. Botts had a good shot from the slot. We did a lot of the good things well. And then got a power play late. We'll get into that. We got a power play late. Two penalties, and now we're down 4-on-3, which turns into a 5-on-3 that they score on. And, you know, all four goals on Saturday were power play goals for Clarkson, and the game went in their favor.
Well, let's take a look at Saturday's game. First of all, Alec Bretzman, as you mentioned, just an outstanding weekend. He factored in on every Michigan Tech goal Friday and Saturday night, including the two on Saturday night.
Smith has it, still behind the net, brings it to the right corner, off of the boards for Egan Ford. Ford brings it to the middle, now for Smith. Smith in front, here's a chance on the back end, and a goal! Oh, wow! Huskies buried it again on the power play to get the first goal of the game, and Alec Bretzman made no mistake on that one, 1-0 Michigan Tech.
There's a lost art, hey?
Backhand?
The backhand goal.
Yeah.
We were talking about it, he just don't see it anymore.
Yeah, and he got the puck, well, just before that he had it on his forehand and wasn't able to pull the trigger on it. The puck got back to him. A really nice play by Smitty on that, and he went forehand to backhand and to change a shooting angle on it, get the goalie to move a little bit and put it up under the bar. It's just a really good play. Power play's been good. Power play is growing and increasing all the time. It started out on the year a little bit slow, as we did as a team, and it's growing and it's getting opportunities. It's getting in the zone. It's getting zone time, and it's scoring goals for us most every game now. We're getting power play goals, even when we have one or two opportunities. We seem to be cashing in on it. So team's doing a good job in a lot of ways, and it's been a real pleasure to work with this group and I'm hoping that we can continue to go. You know, Lake State comes up with a big win against Bowling Green, I believe, on Saturday night. Northern with a big win against first place number one in the country, Mankato, on Saturday night. We're going to get to play these teams again. We have Bowling Green coming into our building, who's a top 10 team in the country. We're still, you know, we have teams that are all fighting for positioning and things, and we're going to have a great opportunity to play good teams again to get us ready to try to make a push in the end.
Coach, former goaltender, right? The backhand shot. What is it about the backhand shot? Is it that the goalie really doesn't know,
you don't know where
the release is going?
You don't know where it's going because it's not... There is. It's always the same. Mm-hmm. It's coming from the same spot. You can tell so many times when a player is on his forehand where he's shooting the puck, where he's looking, where the angle of his blade. You know, you can tell different things. On the backhand, it's all the same. It's coming from one spot. It's either rolling off the toe and going one way. It's rolling off, pulling off the heel and going the other. And you don't know until it's already released. And if you think it's going one way and move the wrong way, like a soccer goalie, it's going, you know, there's a good chance it's getting by you.
And what was amazing about that goal, I thought, is that, Marat was at least a foot away from anywhere near that puck. I mean, he wasn't even close to it. It was such a perfect shot over the shoulder and right by the ear or whatever it was. I mean, a lot of those backhands, they're not the fastest shots in the world. The goalie comes close to it. He wasn't even close on
that one. Yeah, you know, you can say the same thing, though, about their first goal. I think it was Eggles got their first goal on the power play, and Jurusik was tucking himself.
Yes.
You know, it's from the dot, outside the dot area, but the dot, in line with the dot, and he was playing it on a horizontal vertical position where he was taking the post away, and he shot it far side. And when you watch it on video, you're looking at it and you're like, the whole half of the net was open when he shot the puck. So, you know, sometimes it's just the read of the goaltender and they're guessing, and Marat was guessing, and Botts made no mistake on it. When he went to his backhand, he placed it well, and he's a tremendous hockey player. Botts is a tremendous player. He's gripping his stick a little tight earlier for a stretch there because he got off with like a 6-point weekend, the first weekend of the year. Mm-hmm. Player of the week, outstanding. And then, you know, and then it's not coming, then it's not coming. And then now that some pucks have gone in for him, the floodgates are opened a little bit and he's relaxed and pucks are going in the net.
So, Bretzman not only scores that goal, but then he draws a penalty while we're on the penalty kill, correct?
Mm.
No.
For the 4-on-4?
Yeah, we were shorthanded.
He
draws a call, and then he ends up getting this goal on the breakaway.
Had his stick lifted up. 4-on-4 for another 47 seconds. Play back to the point. Schneider will hold it in. Sends it over. Turnover! And here comes Bretzman trying to get a breakaway. Bretzman is down. Shoots! Goal!
Well, it was a long breakaway there because I think both players were pretty tired, Schneider and Bretzman, and he was able to keep them off, and being that right-handed stick helped out a lot.
Yeah, those two guys, left-handed stick.
Our left-handed stick helped out.
Those two guys, 4-on-4 this weekend, were really good. I believe they got a 4-on-4 goal. I think Grayson's was a 4-on-4 on Friday night as well. Mm-hmm. So they were really good 4-on-4, and I went to that well. That would, you know, good and bad with that. We got the 4-on-4 goal, but I think a big thing on Saturday night's game, another big factor in the game, was that on Friday night we were able to get really good flow in the game with all our lines and our you know, call it our fourth line. They're good hockey players. Were really involved in the game, did a really good job for us. On Saturday, in fairness to them, there were so many, and I thought Casey did a good job, coach at Clarkson. He worked the referees really well. He, you know, whether he wanted to or not, it worked out where the benches really got shortened. You know, the difference in the game was power plays. It really got down to their top guys against our top guys in some ways, and their top guys are veteran, senior type guys, Eggles and those guys that made a difference in the game and got those four power play goals. But not only did it turn it into a shortened bench, and you'd think you'd be rested, but what it did is it took some guys, they just didn't get on the ice forever. Mm-hmm. And in fairness to Marcus, in fairness to Crespi, in fairness to Ganey, in fairness to a lot of guys, they didn't get, excuse me, I'm sorry, I picked up a tickle, but they picked up, they didn't get a lot of ice time to get into the game because those 4-on-4s and things started in the first period. And so they went extended periods with, you know, you get a 4-on-4, then you get a power play 3 minutes later, and you're just trying to, you know, get your rhythm back and get flow back. And we had a good stretch in the third period, and we took the game over in some ways in that stretch where we got several scoring chances and things. And then it went back to, you know, a power play here and a power play there. That took us out of our rhythm as well. So we got this 4-on-4 opportunity, but I'd have been much, much better off with, like, the game before, a couple power plays each way, and then roll the dice and not shorten that bench. I'm not a fan of shootouts winning games. I don't like any time that the team concept comes out of the game and it goes down to, even if we have the best players, where it gets down to a couple teams deciding a game, or a couple players. I think that's where you're rolling the dice a bit, and it bit us on Saturday night.
All right. Well, the Huskies were up 2-0 at that point. Let's take a timeout. We'll be back, and we'll talk a little bit about the remainder and the bad half of that Saturday night game for Michigan Tech. It's the Joe Schottauer on Mix 93.
This holiday, do you want a gift, or do you want to wow? At Ulta Beauty, we make wowing easy with gorgeous gift sets. Spread holiday cheer with the Morphe 12-piece eye brush collection. Get major Mary points from Mini But Mighty lip kits from Kylie Cosmetics and MAC. And treat your nice list to skincare sets from Kiehl's and Mario Badescu. Plus, treat yourself to easy shopping when you buy online and pick up in store. It's free. Shop now, wow later, and get ready to give, gather, and glow. Ulta Beauty. The possibilities are beautiful. Parents, do you want your child's shoes to fit perfectly? Then you need to get your kids Skechers Stretch Fit shoes, because Skechers Stretch Fit shoes easily slip on and fit almost like a sock. And not only do they fit like a dream, they perform like one too. Skechers Stretch Fit keeps your child's feet comfortable all day long with Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam. Plus, you'll love just how durable they are. And if they get dirty, just pop them in the washing machine. Skechers Stretch Fit shoes. Find them at a Skechers store near you, Skechers.com, or wherever kids' shoes are sold.
This is Bob Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. If something were to happen to you today, would your family be left with a financial burden to cover your debts and final expenses? Would they be able to maintain their same lifestyle without you? No matter your age and situation, there is an auto owner's life insurance policy to meet your unique needs, and an auto owner's life policy is likely more affordable than you think. Stop in at the Turvo Agency in Hancock and see how a life insurance policy from auto owners can provide the protection your family needs and deserves. Think life.
It's almost Busch O'Clock, a time for relaxing and unwinding with a crisp, cold Busch beer. It's the most refreshing time of the day. Wait for it. 3, 2, 1. Busch. Crisp, cold Busch. Enjoy it responsibly. Busch beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Welcome back to the Joe Schottauer here on Mix 93, and we are in the middle of the recap of Saturday night's game. The Huskies up 2-0 after two great goals by Alec Bretzman in the first period, but then in the second period, it was a minor penalty taken by the Clarkson Golden Knights, but right before that, a player for the Knights had been knocked down, and there was no call on it. And I, be perfectly honest with you, Coach, I still have not seen a replay on that. If they did show it up for us up in the press box, I missed it. But just so I understand the rule here, and I think I do, on a situation like that where the play has stopped, the other coach, if he feels a major was missed, they can go and look at that, correct? And then, but
you know, I don't know. I don't know the rule on it. It changes all the time. Like we talked about at, I mean, I don't know if it changes, but at Northern Michigan, we wanted to have something looked at, and he wouldn't look at it, and we had already used our timeout, so we couldn't request a timeout, if you recall that butt end situation. Right. And then Northern Michigan had used their timeout, and Laughlin laid down on the ice, and they decided they wanted to take a look at it. So they decided, so I don't know what the rule is. On this one, the referees decided they wanted to look at it, but absolutely a major. Absolutely the right call. No question about it. We looked at it after. I'm furious. You know, we're all furious about this situation. But it is what it is, and it was absolutely the right call at a very inopportune time. We're going on the power play. We're up 2-0. We've played a great hockey game. There's nothing going on against us. They're not buzzing us. They're not, you know, I won't say in control. It's a good hockey game. You know, we're not dominating them. They're not dominating us. We're not getting a ton of scoring chances, but we're getting them. They're not getting a ton. They're getting a few. We're going on the power play, and then, so all of a sudden, they look at it. It's a 5-minute major. The 2 minutes is gone. We get a few scoring chances during that 4-on-4, and then we get down to the 3-minute part, and within a minute's time, they score 3 goals. Changed the entire hockey game, the complexion of it. We came back, we got through that period, the whole thing's over with now, and we come out, we put a push on in the third to try to get the tying goal, but that was the changing point in the hockey game for sure. And it's not, you know, it's not on a player. You know, a team wins, a team loses. Our penalty kill still had a chance to get it done. Our goaltending still had a chance to make some saves. Just the whole thing broke down for a 3-minute span. Excuse me, actually a 1-minute span, where they scored 3 goals just like that. Mm-hmm. And the 4-on-4 portion of it, we were getting the chances. The puck was in their end. They get the power play and we can't do anything right on the penalty kill. And it ends up in our goal and the game changed. It's unfortunate because, it turned into, that's what ended up deciding it, but you give it a lot of thought, you know, and like I said, again, the player feels terrible, you know, I told him it's not a one person doesn't win, one person doesn't lose. The unfortunate thing about it is that, you know, we had talked about this beforehand I had talked to this player about this beforehand because for whatever reason, I just got the feeling on this type of game against this type of team, this individual tends to step like that for whatever reason. So I talked to him on multiple occasions. We don't teach our guys to step. We teach our guys to angle so that you don't get these calls, these blindside calls, because I would have for sure sent it to our league and said, why don't we get that called against us, that calls? Mm-hmm. It was absolutely a 5-minute major and a game disqualification for sure. And I talked to this player about that, you know, be careful. Don't do this, to the point where the last time I got an eye roll, you know, with a few minutes left, 3 or 4 minutes left on Friday night. Do not give them an opportunity to go on the power play. Let's not turn this into their best players. And it ended up biting us. So, you know, that's something we're going to have to work on. We're going to have to get over on it. And I really think, excuse me, I look at it, I really think this is a millennial thing. I really do, that great kids, you know, just like last year, great kids are so now trained to be individualized, that no matter what you say, how you approach things, they're gonna, you know, their efforts are for the immediate satisfaction of the individual. I think it's really a generational thing that is hard for us older people to understand, where you address something and it doesn't work out for you. And here's the way I look at it. And our goal is to teach as much as to coach hockey, as much as to win games. I'm really in it to try to be involved. What attracts me is the chess match of it and being involved in people's lives. As a coach, you're in a situation where nothing you do is for you. It's like parenting. Excuse me again. It's like teaching. Nothing you do is involved in what you do for you. It's really religious in some ways, and here's how I rationalize it. And I'm gonna get calls on this. I'll get called into the principal's office. That's life. But this is the way Joe Sean's mind works. And here right now, my boss is going, oh no, here we go. You have the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments, the first three are for your relationship with your Creator, your relationship, what you do directly with that. Go to church, honor those things. Don't be disrespectful. Don't take it in vain. The next seven are your relationship with other people. Your relationship with how you treat other people. Don't kill, don't steal, don't do this. This is really how I try to live my life, how my wife tries to live her life. But that still wasn't good enough. You know what I mean? So when, I don't care what you are, but I'm just saying how I think, how I try to live my life, how Christians try to live their life. You get someone comes to the earth and has to take it to another level, because even the best people, even the religious, even the people guiding, are self-centered. They're self-seeking. They do so. Okay, what is the greatest of these? Well, really, you know what? The greatest of them has to take it to another level. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the golden rule. I have that in my office on the wall. It's a gift from my daughter. People still had to be told to put others first. Do unto others to put others first. That's what people don't get. Bosses get that. You know what I mean? People, but when you're in so many governmental agencies and things like that, that's not on the line so often. You know what I mean? When you get into the nooks and crannies of someone running a business and things like that, that is on the line. Think of the other person all the time. Don't put yourself above others. It doesn't mean people are good people. It doesn't mean they're bad people. It means that you always have to keep in mind the good of the whole. And that's what it's about. Millennials nowadays, I find, are so instantly self-gratifying. And by societal norm, that the best of them still have to satisfy their own personal needs. And I think the younger you are, the more that happens. That's what we fight. I think that's what we as coaches can't. You can never let the individual go. And that's what the battles we had last year, if you know, with the team. I always said on the radio, we have a culture issue. We have this. It was all me, 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 me. And this year's been so great because it's we. In this situation, it was a me, me type deal. And we didn't get through it. And we'll learn from it. We'll get past it. There's no right. There's no wrong. There's no fault. We didn't pull together and get through it as a group. Excuse me. And we have to, that's the lesson that we have to learn from that, is that no matter what happens, we have to accept, pull those people in, learn from the lesson, not let it happen again. You can't make up for it. You can't say, I'm gonna make up for that. You can't make up for things that happen. You just don't let them happen again. And that's what we have to do going forward, is not let this type of thing happen again and creep in. And when it does, we handle it within the group, and then but other people are going to pick it up. We're going to learn to, okay, let's bear down and let's get through this and let's bring everybody back in the fold and be better from this, and not let it destroy. Because this was a 9-point shift in the pairwise. This game was a 9-point shift, in my opinion. We went to 17 and we would have been 8 or 9. So 8 or 9 point shift in the pairwise, where we'd be comfortably looking going forward as to where, you know, in a situation. And we have to make sure that we try to deal with this millennial situation in a positive way. Last year we had trouble with it. This year we have to make sure that we are accepting of it, and we always put the good of the team first, always, over individual.
So the power play, once the 2-minute minor was over, 3 minutes of major power play time, in which they scored within a minute something 3 goals. Why did those look so easy, Coach?
Because they were. We weren't aggressive on the back. We weren't aggressive on the kill. The first one, we were doing a pretty decent job of it, and a guy just walked the seam and threw a puck to the far post. It wasn't a great goal. So that's one. That's one. The second one was a shot from the point. They move around. There's nothing special about it. We have two guys lined up in blocking position and a goaltender. It got through all of them. Easy goal. And then the last one, we missed a rotation on the back door. So they scored from one side, they scored from the middle, and they scored from the other side, where they tried to throw a puck at the net again and it bounced out to the back door. Very similar to the fourth goal in the third period, where they came from one side, got into the back door, and they whacked it a couple times and got it in the net. So, we have to make decisions on the penalty kill. If you look at it, Alaska did the same thing when they needed to score in that game in Alaska, in the third period. They were able to score on us on the power play. our penalty kill is going to have to get more consistent. If there's certain individuals in the lineup that are in the lineup because of the penalty kill, that don't give us offense, we might have to make some adjustments there. If it's that we have to add a defenseman and get someone like a Cooper Watson in there with some size and strength to help us kill, so we have aggressiveness on the penalty kill. If he helps us or another individual helps us, we have to get those people in there. We have to do what we can do to make sure that we rectify these situations and move ahead. I don't know what the answers are completely yet. When we only give up one or two power plays in a game, we are absolutely fine. When we go to the well a little bit more, it seems like the entire thing breaks down to some degree. So we're going to have to get that resolved, whether we have to make more adjustments on a coaching side of it or whatever it is. The game was very similar to Alaska, where we needed that kill at the end, and we weren't able to get it.
Yeah, we actually are now at 18 in the pairwise, and Clarkson moved up to number 8. So
yeah, so it was a big jump because we were ahead of them going into the weekend in the pairwise. They're a good team. The game shrunk down to the skill players determine the outcome of the game. In some ways, we allowed that to happen. I won't say that we lost our discipline or anything like that. It was more individually based, but we still had the opportunity to turn that into a good thing. Get through the kill. We went through 35 minutes? There were 5 minutes left in the period, roughly. We went through less than that. There were 3 minutes left in the period when they went on the 5-on-3, and we're up 2-0. Get through it. Let's get back to 5-on-5. Let's get things back. If it was only a 2-minute minor penalty, of 2-minute power play, and they get one goal, maybe we get through it. The major, they threw three, you know, they scored three times on us, just like that. And I think really, I think in a lot of ways, again, it's the good Lord saying, because we had discussed this very situation prior, I think it's the good Lord teaching us a lesson, teaching all of us an opportunity to discuss it as a team and discuss how important it is to come together, first of all, to work on our weaknesses, all of us. I at 57, I'm the guiltiest of all of our entire team. But we all have to work on our weaknesses daily, identify our weaknesses, and spend time on our strengths, but really focus on our weaknesses and taking those. Those are the hard things, right? It's hard to identify our problems. We have to self-analyze, which coaches have to do all the time. You can't leave anything to chance. You just can't. That's why you talk to a player about this. Don't do this. This is the type of situation where this type of thing is done. Don't do it. And they don't want to hear it. They're like, come on, coach, like, back off. You know, I don't need to hear this. And then it happens. You know what I mean? And then it totally is demoralizing because, now he's going to hate me. Now he's going to do this. He told me, you know what I mean? It's like a parent. Listen, don't do this. I don't want you to do this. And then you do it. You know what I mean? And then as a parent, you're so disappointed. And the kid is like, I am really up a creek now. Why did I do that? Why did I do it? And like I said, there is no making up for anything. You move ahead, you correct it, you move ahead and you go. And it everybody's telling me, and that's the reason we're talking about it, that 5 minute, I walk in here, you know, Mitch is like, oh, that 5 minute major. That's only part of it. The other part of it is we had a chance to penalty kill and we didn't. You know, we had a chance to get over it, and we have to pull ourselves together and support whatever. I make mistakes too. A lot of them. You know, every game, a lot of them. I have to self-analyze those mistakes and try not to let them happen again and correct them. And that's a big reason for why we're having, I think, some success now. Because as a staff, we got in and we said, okay, what do we never want to have happen again based on last year? And we're not going to let that happen again. So all of our focus has been on our culture, on what we want to do well, and on playing the players that adhere to that, no matter who they are. And it's worked well for us, and we're not going to change that. We're going to keep a positive environment moving forward. Everybody's important to us. All 30 guys are important to our team moving forward. We're going to support all of them. We're going to bring those that stray a little bit, we'll bring them back in. When I stray, I want to be brought back in. I want the team to hold me accountable. I want the coaches to hold me accountable. I want my boss to hold me accountable. I want my wife to hold me accountable. And I want to hold myself accountable because I talked about what governs my life, how I look at things. And, you know, I hold myself to a standard, and I want to make sure that we're fair in how we hold others to a standard, and that they know it's out of love and it's not out of, you know, we're not vindictive or you know, it's completely for the good of the group. And the group has to come first.
Final shots in that Saturday night loss, 26 for Clarkson, 23 for Michigan Tech. The Golden Knights, 4-for-8 on the power play. Michigan Tech, 1-for-6 on the mat advantage in that game. So,
with some short ones. Both teams had some short ones in there. Really, they were probably about 4-for-6, and right. We were about 1-for-3 or 4, yeah. And with a disallowed goal on the power play. We scored, and it was disallowed, so we had our success, too.
All right. Well, we'll take a break. We'll start talking a little bit. I asked you, Coach, if I didn't prep you on this, but I'm sure it would be no problem. Maybe we'll give some grades to the Huskies' performance on offense,
sure.
Defense, and
sure.
How you think in the first half of the season. Plus, your questions coming up, too. It's all part of the Joe Schaan Hour on Mix 93.
It takes hard work to reach goals. It's a truth that applies to more than sports. It goes for your financial goals as well. You work hard for your money. You deserve an investment strategy that lines up with your game plan. And your local Edward Jones financial advisor can help. If your investments aren't putting forth the effort, call me, John Nelson, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, at 482-8680 or stop by for a financial review. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
These are the Coca-Cola polar bears. And I'm their translator. They said, happy holidays. Oh, they got a few ice cold bottles of Coca-Cola. They'd like to make a toast. Sorry, I mean delicious, refreshing ice cold bottles of Coca-Cola. And that's just them drinking it, not a translation. They're not saying anything. Enjoy the holidays. Enjoy Coca-Cola.
The holidays just wouldn't be the same without an ice-cold Coca-Cola. The delicious taste reminds you of all the magic of the season. Whether it's enjoying time with the family or going to the holiday party, Coca-Cola is the perfect pair for all your holiday festivities. Share the magic this season with an ice-cold Coca-Cola, Coke Zero Sugar, or the limited edition Coca-Cola Cinnamon. Enjoy the holidays. Enjoy Coca-Cola.
Whether our Huskies are on the turf, the ice, or the hardwood, show your Michigan Tech home team pride by sporting Husky apparel from University Images, the campus store, or online at bookstore.mtu.edu. If souvenirs are your game, we've got you covered there too. We're sure you'll find exactly what you're looking for when you visit us in person or online. Check our campus store and University Images social media feeds for our latest store news, promotions, and operating hours. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. And always, we thank you for your patronage.
Welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour. Let's get Coach's grade as we finish up the first half of Michigan Tech's hockey season and head into the Great Lakes Invitational on the 30th and 31st. I guess I'll start with goaltending first, Coach, because you're a former goaltender and it's close to your heart. Your thoughts on the goaltending. What grade would you give the goaltending for Michigan Tech in the first half?
I'd give as a whole, I'd give the grade probably a good solid B+. I think that there's absolutely been games that we wouldn't have had success had it not been for outstanding goaltending. For our depth at goaltending for as a whole in that regards, I'd give it an A. I think Blake Pedler, when he played phenomenal. We just happened to go back to Maddie and you know, Blake played against number one team in the country, came in, didn't give up a goal in most of the third period on Friday, and then Saturday gave up two goals in a 2-1 loss. He did an exceptional job. We went back and gave Maddie a go at it on the next start, and then we went on a run. So, I think that in match regards, I'd give Maddie, because he's played the most, a solid B+. I think that there's games where he's stalled. I think the more he gets into a game, the better he is. And I think that in some games, such as Saturday night, in honesty, where he's not getting a ton of action, especially early, and it's hard. I've been at that position to settle into a game. You know, there's been some soft goals that have gone in at those times. You know, you can probably look back. There's probably several that he'd like to have back that have scored on him. That wouldn't if he was sharper in the game. And what I mean, had more action in the game. I think he'd, more consistent action too. I think that he'd want that back. So I'd give it a good B plus. I think our goaltending has been a strong point.
How about defense?
Defense. There's some things I'd give that a B. I think that there's certainly doing a lot more offensively. for us, which we want. within our defensive scheme, so much of it comes down to the support they get from our forwards. I think systematically, it's been okay. The issue being, I think we need some guys, and we've talked about this, some guys need to bring the way that they practice more into the games. I'm not sure that we have, that our entire group back there is courage based, is warrior based. I think that they rely on their skill, and we talked about this before. Skill is, it's the dog and cat philosophy. You know, your skill level, your defensive side of it is like your dog. It should always be there. I'm not sure it always is with us, and I think a lot of that is based on the competitive nature of some of our defensemen, that they don't really like to totally engage. That's why we've gone out, we went out and got the Lipes, and we brought in some size strength to give us a little bit more of a presence back there on the blue line. Now, offensively, is your cat. Sometimes it's there. You call a cat, it might come, it might not. You know, the dog should always come. Your defense should always be there. Your offense is the cat. And we have some guys that don't always have the defense, and I think because of natural, within their dynamic, natural aggressiveness, and so they rely on their offense, and if their offense isn't there on a given night, sometimes they don't, you know, we come out of a game as a staff disappointed a little bit in our defensive side. So I'd give our defense overall a B because we haven't given up a ton of goals. But a lot of that goes to our forwards as well.
What about our forwards? What grade would you give them, Coach?
Well, I'd give them certainly a trending up, and I'd give them a good B, a good solid B, because I think that, you know, we got 39 shots the other night. We fired 40 shots in three of our last four games at our opponents, including the fourth-ranked team in the country, and created good offense. We have good growth from a lot of our individuals, and we're happy about that. I think we're set up good going forward for next year, depending on who may sign early and things like that. But, you know, I still think we need a more consistent effort out of a lot of guys. You know, Misiak, I think, has been absolutely tremendous in a consistent way, although he only has 3 points. He's been absolutely integral to our game. I think Botts had a great start, a little bit of a lull in some ways because he was pressing and a great finish. I think that Hallinan's been pretty consistent and is growing his game, especially in his understanding of the game away from the puck. I think he's been really good. We couldn't ask much more out of Soretzky and Pedla. I think they've done, Pedla's anchored, really given up. If we didn't have him at the center position right now, I don't know where we'd be as a team. He's been extremely good and growing. You know, he's growing at a good pace. I think Logan Gaydon's been very good. I think we've gotten a good play out of what some might call our fourth line. It struggles in and out because of its execution within the systems, and probably it's how much it plays on any given game. But when they're on and we're not getting a lot of penalties, they're impactful in the game. They get on a rhythm. We can correct them. They get back out there and they figure it out. It's just maintaining their focus within the system with those individuals. As far as aggressiveness, as far as gap filling, as far as their angling skills, as far as they're playing off each other instead of just going out there and chasing the puck and trying to be energized. All in all, I think Bliss has been very good. He still gets, when he gets tired, there's shifts where he's not as effective. But his leadership, and his maturity has grown in leaps and bounds, and he's obviously been a huge part of our success this year. Paratino is starting to put consistent games together. So I think our forwards are headed in the right direction overall, and we still need to plug some holes in recruiting for sure to give us depth, to increase our speed, to increase our tenacity, but it's certainly heading in the right direction.
Really quick, Coach, special teams, as we go into the break, I know both of these percentages you would like up a little bit. The penalty kill right now at 81%, that dropped obviously. But we've just had spurts of stat demoralizing games where, you know, we've gone long stretches with really good penalty kill, obviously.
But that's usually when it's low. We like when it's up in the 5 penalty kill, 6 penalty kill, you know, 8 penalty kill, whatever it is, it was, you know, it, the number should go up, but it goes up way too high.
Yeah.
It drops off whether we're not adjusting well during the game for whatever reason, whatever's going on. It needs to get better. That needs to be at 86%. And it was there.
It was,
for a long time. And then it's dropping.
And the power play right now at 18.3%.
Which is climbing.
Right.
So that's doing a good job. Both power play units are scoring. We're scoring virtually every game. Again, if we can keep that penalty kill down to 2, you know, and again, a lot of these are, you see certain games where we're getting enormously, like, it's an anomaly how, you know, a dart that's out there on the perimeter of how many penalty minutes we're getting in an individual game, and that's where it seems to, you know, look at Northern, they score late on us on a power play with the goalie pulled. You know, those, so many of the calls I question. This weekend I didn't question the calls, though. I thought the officiating was fine. Immature, but I think with good mentorship from the top, if they're being taught, like we have to teach our players, you can work with these guys and bring them along. There was no maliciousness. There's so often I feel like there's I'll leave that. But these guys, I don't think, they communicated well. I thought they called, you know, they weren't the reason. It was more us. Like the trip on Smitty. It's a trip. We're on the power play. He's trying to keep the play alive. He's sticking his stick out. They step on the stick. They go down. It's a trip. It was a good battle in the corner with the ref with good vision, with Goetze. You know, I'm talking about the two late ones on Saturday. He's competing. You know, those aren't stupid penalties. So you're going to take those, and I thought the refereeing overall was pretty good this weekend.
Coach, the question here, does Coach Sean make an identifiable investment into the men's live regarding appropriate conduct in making their marriages priority over even hockey, as these relationships outlast any hockey success or any career?
Well, what I'll tell you, you just heard me talking earlier about my stand on it. Now, we don't get in there and preach religion to our guys at all or anything like that, but the way I talk, take the influences out, but, you know, I think that's our goal. I think that we have to help. I think the more we're talking about that, that's what's leading to your culture. And a culture is what drives, I think, any success. So we try, but really, I'm the wrong guy to ask. Ask the players. You know, feel free to ask the players how they feel the environment and how they feel that they're treated.
Next question, Coach. Some coaches have a rule that if there is a game misconduct assessed to a player, that the team will then not allow them to play the next game. Has your coaching staff ever discussed that?
Well, I haven't discussed a rule. Because I think the more rules you have, you know, we have very few rules. You know, be respectful all the time, go to class, make your family proud, make your university proud, and don't do anything that, you know, be on time, don't do anything that's detrimental to those things that I just spoke about. We don't have a rule on it. We'll address things. There's certain things that we'll address if they happen over and over. We're certainly gonna, you know, look at this situation from last weekend, because it's happened before and it was addressed prior to it happening. So we're going to talk about that in different ways and how we're going to approach it. But we want to be fair with our guys and give our guys time to grow. It doesn't matter. I'll say this. If the question is, does it matter who takes something versus being in and out? It matters in this degree. It matters in, if you're a guy that doesn't get a lot of ice time, and you're going out and you're taking penalties and you're in a depth role, you need to be careful, because there's another guy knocking at the door. If it's our best player and he does something purposely to undermine the good of the team, we're certainly going to address that in the way that we feel needs to be handled. And if that's sitting out, that's certainly more important to me going forward, and knowing that there's accountability in place, than to not address it. So every instance is looking at, and how we handle discipline is handled within the team and in conjunction with our athletic department and the policies and things that are in place. But we're always going to try to do what's best for the team. And if people are putting themselves above the team, as you saw last year, we handle things and we do what we feel is best for the group going forward. And I think we made good decisions last year, because this year we're getting rewards for it.
Next question is, and I think I can answer this too. The question is, did Tech traveled to Clarkson via bus last year, and did Clarkson travel by bus to Houghton this year? And the answer is no. Both teams, actually it was bus and plane for Clarkson. They flew out of Syracuse, then into Chicago, then into Green Bay, and they bussed up from Green Bay to here. We flew out of here, went to Syracuse, and bussed from Syracuse to.
So consistent. And both teams sent their equipment over with a travel wagon. We sent our bus over, I believe, to get us around.
And there's another question on penalties. I think we've already covered that one. Just want to make sure that everybody knows that we're reading their questions. Here's a good one, Coach. At one point on Saturday, with penalties and the misconduct, you only had four defensemen available. Chris Liebringer back in the day was a great asset because he could, of course, play forward or defense. Is there anyone on the roster right now that could do that?
Yeah, he was a great asset for us for that very reason. I did it a couple years ago with Mark Ock too, if you remember. We were, you know, he was dinged up a little bit, and we moved him to forward for a bit, and because we could use him in certain situations, such as the power play and things like that, but protect him a little bit as well. I've tried everybody that's not playing consistently on defense at forward. We've tried them all. At practice at different times in conjunction with them. Are you willing to do this, to try this? So we've tried it. I haven't seen anybody where it comes as naturally. And I like to do that, as a matter of fact. I did it all the time in juniors as well. I've had great success in moving players up. Leib scored some goals for us that way. I haven't seen, in the guys that we've tried that with, the puck skills and things up there that have, the natural ability. We seem to have more locked in defensemen. That probably are lifetime defensemen than we do of guys like Liebinger, who had played both growing up to some degree.
Very good. We'll take a quick timeout. Be back with more of the Joe Schauer after this.
Are you sick of crushing candy and want something better? Well, better is here with Best Fiends. Join millions of satisfied Americans and start playing today. Best Fiends is a 5-star rated addicting puzzle adventure game where you collect cute characters and solve thousands of fun puzzles. Don't miss out on the Best Fiends obsession. Download Best Fiends for free from the App Store or Google Play today. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
Play Best Fiends. Download free.
There's an app to save on flights, an app to rent a bike, and an app to help you save for driving safely. The Allstate app gives you real-time driving feedback with DriveWise, giving you the power to lower your insurance cost. In fact, safe drivers can save 40% or more. Connect and save with DriveWise. You're in good hands.
Download the Allstate app today. Savings may vary by state and driving behaviors. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Use of Allstate Mobile with activation of DriveWise required. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Right now, I'm holding a perfectly ice-cold Coors Light. You know how I know it's the perfect temperature? Because the mountain on the can is blue. And also, it's really cold. Every Coors Light is cold-filtered, cold-lagered, and cold-packaged. Notice how many times I said cold? 3 times. It's that cold. So make sure the mountain on your can of Coors Light is blue, because that means it's ready to enjoy. 2019 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Spread the word. Tell all family members and friends. It's Bucko's Party Store 12 Packs of Christmas Celebration Sale. All 12 packs of bottled beer are on sale. All 12 packs cans of Pepsi products are 2 for $10. All 2 liters are 2 for $3. Bucko's now carrying Skinny Pete's Bagels, along with all other kinds of local products. Check out Bucko's Clothing Department for Keweenaw Alpaca Gear, sold exclusively at Bucko's Party Store. Don't forget, Bucko's sells your ORV trail licenses. Sales do not include tax and deposit at Bucko's.
Well, this really went by quick, and we are down to our last couple of minutes here. Thanks for all your questions, by the way. We appreciate it, and hope we got those answered as best we can, as a lot of people were asking kind of the same questions, so we try to lump them all into one. But, Coach, we appreciate it. It was a fun first half of the season. I want to wish your family, you and your family, a Merry Christmas, and I can't wait for the GLI.
And I want to wish yourself as well, and it was great of you to come over on Saturday night. I want you and all the people in our area and the Husky supporters, alumni and things out around that listen to the show, if there are any that listen to it. And, you know, these questions show that what we talk about, people like to, you know, they like to hear, even though it, you know, some things are, you know, probably off topic or something like that. They like, you know, it's real life stuff. What we deal with every day is parenting. That's what we do, Dirk. We're parenting, we're teaching, coaching, parenting, teaching. It's all the same verb, you know what I mean? It all's about relationships and about people and about development for all of us. Parents don't have all the answers either. Coaches don't have all the answers. Bosses don't have all the answers. They need good people under them that are learning and can challenge and these questions ask that. How do you handle these situations, these life situations? Mm-hmm. And that's what the questions were today. And we were talking about that beforehand. So everybody's on the same page. Everybody feels part of it. Everybody's involved in it. Everybody knows what we're trying to do. And I'm appreciative that I can openly, you know, have that dialogue with people.
Programming note for everybody out there who listens to the Joe Shawn Hour. The next Joe Shawn Hour will not be until the 7th of January. Why? Well, it'll be Christmas week next week. We'll take that week off. Then, of course, we'll be down at the GLI in 2 weeks at this time. And then the Monday after that, we'll still be coming back from Arizona. So the 7th, which is a Tuesday, will be the next Joe Shawn Hour on Mix 93. Coach, thanks a lot. I can't wait for the Great Lakes Invitational against the Spartans, and really looking forward to it.
Thank you, and it's been a great first half.
Merry Christmas, everybody, and that's the Joe Shawn Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ.